Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there all the way from New York. And David, for those that are looking at our screen right now, you're going to see it's all about Israel. And most of the news that we have for you today over the week in review is going to be about Israel and the surrounding area there. But
who doesn't love Israel?
We're also going to answer the question that's on the screen there. Has the Ark of the Covenant been found? Well, according to CIA, to the CIA, I'm not going to give it away yet. We'll get there. You guys hang in there with us, and we'll talk about that. David, go ahead and pray us into the show, and we'll get going today.
All right. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that the signs are all around us. We're going to talk about some of them today. And we thank you that we get to preach your word so people can hear what's going on in the world and they can turn to you. So when you fix the world, they can come with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And fix the world is something that really needs to happen. And that's without any doubt whatsoever. All right, let's take a look at today's topics. And they include a Russia and Ukraine update. The Middle East update. Now, I've got U.S. International Relations. Actually, that's going to be sprinkled throughout. I just didn't know how else to put it. So anyway, it's going to be in there. And then we are going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant and whether or not
did they find it after the earthquake? Was it underneath there?
Well, you know, that's a good place to start because that is current news, something that is ongoing. And as a matter of fact, I even have some updates on it from the time that I got this information. Again, all this comes from KRRB, Revelation Radio News Network. There was a 7.7 earthquake in Myanmar. It did strike the center of Myanmar yesterday and caused significant destruction and loss of life. The earthquake's epicenter was near Mandalay, Myanmar's second largest city. And that city was really devastated. I don't have the permissions to show you the videos of it, but there was actually a multi-story skyscraper under construction that collapsed during this earthquake. So you have buildings, bridges, and roads severely damaged. Some neighborhoods, such as Champan, were reportedly to be on fire. Now, the media there is MRTV. It is state-run. Now, they report at least 144 fatalities and 732 injuries, with expectations the numbers would rise. And I do have the update on that. I'll give it to you in just a minute. The tremors were felt beyond Myanmar borders, notably in Bangkok, Thailand, where a skyscraper under construction collapsed. I guess it was in Thailand where that went down. That resulted in at least 9 deaths. Rescue efforts are ongoing to locate and assist those trapped under debris in both countries. In response to the disaster, President Trump announced that the United States would provide assistance to Myanmar. Additionally, the United Nations is mobilizing resources in Southeast Asia to support those affected. Now, the situation is evolving, and authorities are working to assess the full extent of the damage and coordinate relief efforts. For the most current information, you can monitor this 24 hours on our news site at www.revelationradio.net/news. That's www.revelationradio.net/news. Now, looking quickly here at the update, the update says that there are now more than 1,000 people that have
over 1,000 now.
Yeah, that have been killed in this. And it also says that survivors are actually digging with their bare hands to try and dig out more people out of the rubble.
So, yeah, well, if you don't have anything, you use your hands.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a bad
deal. That was crazy. The videos are actually all over social media, especially that, you know, that one that was being constructed just collapsed and fell over.
Yeah.
And then they saw that one where the three towers were together and two of them were connected by like a plane, and that thing got ripped out because the buildings were going like this.
Yeah.
And then you see all the water because they had a pool on top.
Right.
It was like a fancy building. Mm-hmm. And you see all the water coming out. It's like
pouring down like a waterfall. Yeah, I saw that too.
Can you imagine being on the top of that?
Can you imagine being in the pool? Wow.
Right?
Yeah, that would not be a good day. Okay, getting on here with the news now. We'll start with Russia and the Ukraine, where over the past week, the Russian-Ukraine conflict has seen significant developments on multiple fronts, encompassing diplomatic initiatives, military engagements, and international support efforts. Russian President Putin proposed placing Ukraine under United Nations-administered external governance to facilitate democratic elections and establish a government capable of engaging in peace negotiations. Now, he labeled Zelensky's administration as illegitimate due to the expiration of that president's term and the imposition of martial law, which has postponed elections in the Ukraine. Of course, the foreign ministry there rejected his proposal and countered with a suggestion for UN governance in Russia. That's never going to happen. French President Macron, and I don't understand, how come he's in everything all of a sudden? Anyway, he has proposed deploying a
European... Yeah, like France is important or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many times do they have to lose a world war, you know, and be taken over completely to understand that they really have no clue how to fight? Anyway, he has proposed deploying a European armed force to the Ukraine aimed at securing lasting peace and deterring potential Russian aggression. These troops would be stationed strategically within the Ukraine. Now, while the proposal has support within Europe, it's been rejected by the United States as an imminent direct path to World War III, which is exactly what it is. You know, you get a NATO troop killed, and here we go. Going on here, both Russia and the Ukraine have both violated the temporary ceasefire that was mediated by the Trump administration. The Ukraine reporting that Russian troops targeted energy infrastructure, resulting in injuries and damage to residential buildings. Russia, in turn, claiming the Ukrainian attacks on its energy facilities. Ukrainian air forces claim to have intercepted 42 out of 85 Russian drones. Meanwhile, Russian troops have continued their offensive in eastern Ukraine, advancing toward strategically significant cities. The Ukraine intelligence also suggests that Russia aims to conclude the conflict by 2026. Now, that's notable there, to avoid falling behind global powers such as the United States and China, with prolonged engagement believed to risk relegating Russia to a regional player within Russia. So I think what's really notable, again, David, is the fact that they're talking about that they want to bring this war to an end by 2026. What were your immediate thoughts on all that?
They always make these plans, and then they never pan out, because the Bible clearly says what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And how's that go? The best laid plans of mice and men.
Mice and men, yeah, often go asunder.
Uh-huh. Yep. So, yeah, you know, I don't buy it, because, you know, we had a plan for a ceasefire. How'd that go? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, that's
what
they
the bottom
say.
Line.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The bottom line is this: we have the world powers, the principalities and powers, and people, the fallen angels at Mount Hermon and in Babel, they were all trying to stay together. But God said, no, I told you to go split up. So he literally, if you read the narrative correctly, he told all those powers, he says, okay, you're over here, you're over here, you're over here, you're over here, but Israel is mine. Mm-hmm. And that's why. And that was to demonstrate, because he has to demonstrate their inability to lead. So that's what he has to do, just to be a legal and just judge.
Amen.
So he gave them all territories. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing now. And they're all fighting to be the best territory. When in fact, you know, Yehovah, the king of the universe, has the best territory and has nothing to do with the people.
Amen.
They just happen to be a blessing of it. So here we are. We're seeing all of these principalities and powers fighting against each other. So they're not going to stop. They're not going to all of a sudden become righteous. It's as simple as that. And that's why we see the 10 nation states in all the prophecies, because they're all fighting each other.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're just in the middle of that. Don't believe a word any of them say. The only thing you can believe is that Israel is going to be the capital of the world, and Jesus is going to rule from the throne of David.
Amen.
And that's going to happen soon.
Sooner rather than later, that's for sure. Okay, I want to show you guys this statement here. This is from Ukrainian President Zelensky toward the United States. This was on Friday, the 28th. He firmly stated that the Ukraine will not acknowledge previously approved U.S. military aid as loans requiring repayment. Now, this declaration comes amid ongoing negotiations between the Ukraine and the United States concerning a new critical minerals agreement. This is according to the Financial Times. Now, the U.S. has proposed a comprehensive deal that would allow American control over Ukraine's natural resources in exchange for mediating a ceasefire with Russia. This proposal has been met with resistance from Ukrainian officials who view it as a humiliating attempt to make Ukraine dependent on Washington, which, of course, it already is dependent on Washington. Furthermore, the Trump administration has again paused all military aid to the Ukraine, conditioning its resumption on President Zelensky's commitment to peace negotiations with Russia. This move is intended to pressure Ukraine into pursuing a swift end to the ongoing conflict. Now, immediately after all that came out, then we've got a statement here from Russia on the Ukraine. And Putin just, he was very blunt about it. He said, "We will finish them off." In a blunt statement, Putin declared that Russia's armed forces are gaining momentum and operating with increasing effectiveness. He added that the only thing left is for the Ukrainian people themselves to realize what's actually happening, because he says the outcome is now inevitable. What do you think about that, David?
Well, I think I'm going to harken back to the American Revolution, where it was only 3% of the people that rose up against England.
Right.
And there was actually more people who were loyal to England back then, but they weren't the fighters. Okay. And I suspect that, you know, not to say who's good or bad here, but the fact that here's one power, how many of the people in Ukraine would actually say, yeah, let's get rid of our stupid government and let's join Russia, because look how much more we'll have. They'll have free access. They could travel the country, and Russia obviously is much bigger. So that's just a curiosity for me. What's their mindset? Will the people welcome that? You know, because you see all the, if these are correct, I see, you know, the Ukrainian army is actually going around rounding up men and forcing them to fight because they're running out. Well, why don't they want to fight? Why aren't they loyal to their their country? You know, because they I believe they were once part of the USSR, correct?
They were, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe they didn't want to split off. Who knows? I guarantee you at least some of them feel that way.
Well, from what the information that I have is that it's kind of split. It's almost like the United States, you know, where you got 50-50, basically. I think it's very similar there, but leaning Russian over Ukrainian.
Okay.
Now, this one just came out, and it's very concerning, actually. Did Zelensky actually threaten Putin? The Ukrainian,
he said one too many COVID shots.
Yeah, the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, recently suggested that Russian President Vladimir Putin is nearing the end of his life, stating he, Putin, will die soon. And that's a fact, and it will come to an end. Now, that was his full statement, David, but the remarks coincide with the ongoing speculation about Putin's health, which unconfirmed reports suggest he may be suffering from serious illnesses such as cancer or Parkinson's disease. I haven't seen any indication of that personally. It's important to note that these claims about Putin's health remain speculative, and there's no real evidence to substantiate them. The Kremlin has consistently denied such rumors. Now, Zelensky's comments also continue to heighten tensions between the Ukraine and Russia as the conflict continues with significant geopolitical implications, while some media outlets are also reporting that the Kremlin views Zelensky's comments as a threat of assassination, with a firm warning that a Russian response to any such event would be catastrophic, not only for Zelensky, but for the Ukraine and maybe even for the world. And I kind of agree with that. If you can imagine, if they did assassinate Putin, do you think Ukraine would make it 24 hours before a nuclear strike hit?
No. I mean, it's not going to happen. He's probably got it all set up now. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I die, do this and this and this. It's already set in place. I think Trump did something like that, too. If they kill me, here's the marching orders.
Yeah, he did with Iran. Yeah, if you know, if he's assassinated, he said that the orders are already in place. So, you know, no, that's a veiled threat, but it's a real one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so getting rid of Russia, let's move on here to the Middle East.
Okay.
All right. Over the past week, the Middle East has experienced significant developments across various countries. You got, Israel resuming airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, ending a ceasefire that had been in place since January. The attacks resulted in over 400 terrorist deaths, with Hamas falsely claiming the deaths were predominantly among women and children. Israeli officials, however, stated the strikes targeting Hamas leadership and infrastructure, even as Hamas condemned the actions as violations of a ceasefire that they chose to end. The Israeli airstrikes have intensified, targeting areas across Gaza, including Rafah, Khan Yunis, and Gaza City. The strikes have resulted in significant casualties and widespread destruction. This, again, entirely caused by the terrorist organization in Gaza, both responsible for the beginning of the war and their continued refusal to release the hostages they took prisoner on October 7th, 2023. The Israeli government has approved new military plans to continue operations in Gaza, emphasizing that the release of hostages is a primary objective. The defense minister, Katz, I guess, has warned of escalating actions, including the potential occupation of more territory if Hamas does not comply. And let's see here. Israel has created a special directorate with the
directorate.
Thank you. Within the Ministry of Defense to oversee the willful departure of Gazans, effectively facilitating the displacement of the population. Now, within Gaza itself, there appears to be growing public frustration manifested in rare protests against Hamas, and I've got something on that I'm going to show you guys, with residents demanding an end to the conflict and improved living conditions. And while hundreds have participated in these demonstrations, reflecting growing discontent amid the ongoing violence, these reports have been met with a great deal of skepticism within the Israeli government. I've got something on this for you, I believe. I think I copied it in here. Anyway, with reports indicating that the protests are staged events by Hamas to facilitate pressure on Israel by the international community to cease military activity. So I'm going to let you comment on that, David. I'm going to look for this video because it does show, well, as a matter of fact, here it is. I'll show it first and then you can comment. Here we go. Play it here real quick. Now, this is like a 7-second video. You don't really hear anything there, but it's going to freeze up. And when it does, I'm looking here and where are the women?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not allowed out because it's Islam.
Yeah, well, there's that, but all of them, to me, maybe I'm wrong, you tell me, but they all look fighting age to me. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't see any old guys protesting.
So the deal is here is that our friend Amir Tersfarte, who's over there in Israel, he says this is fake. It's 100% fake that this is actually Hamas troops that are changed back into civilian attire, and they are looking to they look like they're protesting Hamas, but actually what they're trying to do is stop the war where they can regroup and rearm. Now that is according to one source and one source only, okay? A source that I trust pretty much. He's over there in Israel and he's very familiar with Hamas. What do you think, David? Do you think he's on the right trail here, or do you think that these citizens are finally actually rising up against Hamas?
Well, I do think the citizens are against it, but they're not letting them talk because it's Hamas.
Okay.
But what they're going to do in their cowardice, because they are just a bunch of cowards, You know, they'll come up and throw rocks at you and then run away. They're just cowards. So I wouldn't put it past them to do anything to say, oh, look, everyone's rising up. Don't shoot over here. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to give them time to, you know, dust themselves off and gather their rocks again. 100%. You know, if that was a true protest, it would have everybody out there, women, children.
I think so too. They ran it for like 2 or 3 days. I'm not sure if it's still going on yet, but here's the reason why I think Amir may be wrong, is because if these people were protesting, I think Hamas would be out there putting down that protest.
Yeah. They'd be fighting them, and they wouldn't let them do it.
Right. That's his personal opinion versus my personal opinion, but, you know, I tend to think...
He thinks it's an actual protest, is what you're saying.
No, he thinks that it's staged, you know, and I'm kind of like...
I thought we just said that, too.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm not getting my point across right. I probably misstated what my position is, but I think that there is... There is some degree, anyway, of a real protest involved here.
Yes. But they're taking advantage of it in the right, state. To any re-arm. Video that comes out of there is staged.
So
just,
you know,
let's just put it that way. Yeah. Any video comes out.
It's probably a little bit of both. You know, when you.
I think that's what probably prompted this video is all these protests are coming up, so they wanted to hijack it and make it their own.
Yeah.
And then use it to their advantage.
Now that makes sense.
That's what I mean. So yeah, I do think that the people are fighting back because they're losing everything.
Yeah,
you know, and it's because of these guys that want to prove a point about nothing.
Yeah. So that's the first thing about Israel. You know, we said this is all about Israel. That's the first thing. You've got the Gaza thing still going on. So then you move on to Lebanon. And again, on Friday, Israel conducted airstrikes targeting the district there in southern Beirut, an area also known to be a Hezbollah stronghold. And this marks the first time they've done that since the ceasefire that was established in November of 2024. The Israeli military stated that the strikes were a response to rockets being fired from Lebanon into northern Israel, and that residents were warned by the IDF to evacuate prior to the strikes. And again, Israel goes to a great extent trying to make sure that civilians are not injured. The airstrikes have drawn some international condemnation, and here we go with the French president again, falsely labeling Israel's attacks as unjustified and asserting that there was no activity to warrant such an attack, despite the fact that the strikes were in retaliation to Hezbollah rocket fire into Israel. He emphasized plans to discuss the issue with U.S. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, aiming to restore a ceasefire agreement. Now, this is the French president again. He's got his nose into everything, it seems like. Now, in a move aimed to enhance regional stability, Lebanon and Syria signed an agreement to demarcate their shared border and strengthen security coordination. The deal signed in Saudi Arabia by the defense ministers of both countries follows recent clashes in border areas that resulted in multiple casualties. The United Nations UNIFIL and that organization, I don't have much to say good about them, which includes approximately 380 Irish soldiers, has falsely accused Israel of violating the ceasefire, which no longer exists, by the way, by continuing destructive operations in residential and agricultural areas. UNIFIL, which itself is affiliated with terrorist groups in the region, has called for the timely withdrawal of Israeli forces from southern Lebanon in compliance with UN Resolution 1701. The Irish have reiterated their commitment to the UN peacekeeping mission and expressed concern over the slow judicial proceedings in the case of an Irish soldier that was killed back in 2022. So what do you have to say about that one?
I thought the Irish were smarter than that.
No, they're not likely. No. Go ahead.
Yeah, they let Rosie in there. now Ellen's going over there too. They're not that bright. They should have banned them from coming in. Right. But yeah, again, it's just, it's rhetoric. They just, anything that has to do with Israel, they're just automatically against Israel.
Yeah.
And that's because of the principalities and powers over there. You know, our buddy Mark lives over in the UK, but that was Giants territory for a while. That's where we get this story, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Right.
They were, they were real. They were all over there. So that's a principality and power too, that doesn't like Israel.
Well, okay. Now we've talked about, Russia and the Ukraine. We've talked about, the big earthquake there in Myanmar and, Lebanon, and a little bit into Syria. Got to save Syria, the rest of it for the second half of the show, 'cause we're down here right to the end of the first half. And we're getting really close to talking about the Ark of the Covenant and whether or not it has actually been found. That's, what would they call that? The Holy Grail, or the cup.
I think they found it like three or four times in my lifetime. So yeah, this should be interesting.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to what you have to say about this discovery, David, because it's being reported all over the scientific community right now, and so, you know, I'm interested in what you have to say about that. But anyway, that's all in the second half of the show. Let's finish off the first half of the show by first of all telling you guys that if you'll go to lastchristian.net, you're going to have the opportunity to take advantage of a lot of really cool stuff, and I think you'll enjoy it. We have some gifts there waiting for you. And take a look at it at lastchristian.net. And then also, David, tell them a little bit about the Thursday evening Bible or discipleship study.
Yeah, so Thursday nights we have a nice Bible study. We get together as a handful of us, and you're welcome to join. And we just talk about the Word, random topics that the Lord brings up just to sharpen our edges, if you would. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely for people who are mature in the Word, because we dig in deep. So if you're mature and you want a mature conversation instead of just fluffy stuff, that's the place to go. Just go to thehiddenday.com. There's a link on there for the discipleship study, and you'll see that every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And it's a lot of fun. If we don't make it to Thursday because the rapture, I would hope that maybe you would join us. So if you haven't received the Lord, I would suggest receive the Lord first, and then you can come with us in the rapture, and everything's made new. We'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas. Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, I'm J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton on your left in New York. David, we left off with Lebanon and Syria, but I want to get a little bit deeper now into Syria itself. Particularly the capital of Damascus. Now, it has experienced significant changes affecting its political landscape and the status of religious minorities, including the Christian community. The fall of the Assad regime in December 2024 marked a pivotal shift in Syria's governance. Now, the rebel forces entered Damascus on December 7th, leading to the collapse of the government defenses. President Bashar al-Assad fled to Russia, resulting in the end of the Ba'ath Party rule and establishment of a new, more restrictive Islamic government, while claiming to seek stability and reconstruction. Electricity remains scarce, with the state-provided power limited to approximately 2 hours a day. Now, despite securing energy resources, damaged infrastructure and economic sanctions are being blamed for the slow restoration of consistent electricity, impacting daily life and economic recovery. The power vacuum has led to increased sectarian violence, particularly affecting the Alawite community in Damascus. Reports indicate that masked individuals have detained and killed members of this group, instilling fear and prompting some families to flee the city. These incidents underscore the fragile security situation and the urgent need for measures to protect vulnerable populations. Syria's Christian community, once comprised of about 10% of the population, has faced severe persecution throughout the conflict. Extremist groups have targeted Christians, leading to kidnappings, killings, and the destruction of churches. The rise of the Islamic factions has further exasperated fears, resulting in significant exodus of Christians seeking safety abroad. The fall of the Assad regime has introduced apprehension among the remaining Christians, with fear of increased extremism and potential marginalization under the new leadership. Incidents such as the looting of Christian homes and attacks by Islamic fighters have heightened these concerns. Organizations like Open Doors continue to monitor the situation, highlighting ongoing discrimination and violence against Christians, and the community's future in Syria remains uncertain, with many individuals contemplating immigration due to safety concerns and limited prospects. So, David, that is, we're getting in close to Damascus, and we both know what happens to Damascus in the end times. Again, all about Israel. So what are your thoughts about what's going on there in Syria?
Yeah, I mean, we're pointing to Revelation again, where during the tribulation, they'll be beheaded, and it'll be kind of normal routine for them to just do this. And that's what we're seeing, a normalization of it. So we're not in that specific seven-year period yet, but we can see everything is leaning in that direction.
Right.
And, you know, the first thing that comes out is, yeah, the rapture, because in Revelation 4, we'll be up in heaven. The 24 elders are around the throne, sitting on thrones. And then we start to see in 5 that he opens the seals on the scroll. And the first guy out is the guy on the white horse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And he's carrying a bow, which is a covenant of promise, just like the rainbow was God's covenant. Mm-hmm. This bow is, he's bringing a promise of peace. And that's what it says, he'll conquer the world, but mm-hmm. without, you know, without weapons. So he's mm-hmm. basically, he's getting the whole world to submit to him. Because he's the one that's going to promise peace. So here we are. We're going to see this. But then following that, you're going to see all the stuff that's going to lead to, well, if you're not following this guy, then you need to be killed, and it's going to be justified by them to behead people. So we're mm-hmm. starting to see that now. They in Islam will bring things out little by little. Just like that, I think Abbott over in you kind of busted up one of the Islamic towns. They made a town over there. Mm. And then he's like, no, we're not going to have that. And then like, oh, it's our town. We're going to make Sharia law. And it's, no, and that's how they start. They come in yeah. little by little.
Right.
So that's
right.
what they're doing here mm-hmm. is they start little by little. They'll have a piece over here where they say, well, it's okay because of our Sharia law. Mm-hmm. And we could cut their heads off. And little by little, they try and take over.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, it's going to fail because Jesus is going to return and destroy all of them mm-hmm. in one fell swoop.
Amen.
But this is what their goal is. This is what they're leading up to.
Okay, so we've covered Hamas. Now we have covered Hezbollah. So there's mm-hmm. only one other group that's active right now, and that's Yemen. The Houthi
Yemen.
Movement, they're the Islamic Shia-led political and military organization focused on combating perceived marginalization of the Zaidi community. Mm-hmm. The terrorist organization has evolved into a significant force within Yemen, controlling substantial territories, including the capital of Sana'a. In recent months, the Houthis have intensified their activities, leading to heightened regional tensions and international responses. Since November of 2023, the Houthis have targeted over 100 merchant vessels in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, using missiles and drones. The attacks have resulted in the sinking of two vessels and the deaths of four sailors. The Houthis claim their actions are in solidarity with the Palestinians and will continue until Israel ceases its occupation in Gaza. In response to the Houthi maritime threats, the United States and the United Kingdom have launched joint airstrikes against the Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen. These operations aim to degrade the Houthis' capabilities, ensure the safety of international shipping. And I can tell you that they are really getting pounded. The United States has really upped the ante there with a lot of different airstrikes, which have chased a lot of the leadership out of that capital city. Excuse me. The United States has positioned the B-2 Spirit bombers at the Diego Garcia base in the Indian Ocean. The strategic move serves as a deterrent action against both Iran and the Houthi militia, signaling a readiness to escalate military actions if necessary. Although U.S. deep state media journalist Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, has reported an alleged exposure of U.S. military plans against the Houthis due to a signal chat leak involving Trump administration officials. The leaked information did not list any country, any time, any target, or any mission information, while the operation itself was completed successfully without any American casualties or loss of any military assets. President Trump has stated the leak turned out not to be a serious one and expressed continued support for National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, who had created the group chat. The National Security Council spokesman Brian Hughes confirmed the authenticity of the chat, but also minimized its impact, as did Secretary Pete Hegseth, who made it clear that the chat contained war plans, labeling such claims as garbage, and questioned Goldberg's journalistic credibility, and I question his credibility as well. What do you have to say about Yemen?
We do need to get rid of the Houthis because they're just paid for by Iran mm-hmm. with the money that Obama stole from us and gave to them. Mm-hmm. So there, here we go again with people using our money to come against us.
Mm-hmm.
But once they start missing, there's no one else is going to step up. Yeah, let me go up against them.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, mm-hmm. They're not going to do it. So we need to be over there bombing. The only reason they were kept on doing it is because Biden never did anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. And I think they probably planned for a mole in the signal thing, in that chat. I mean, are obviously not going to tell us what they did, but maybe they set the whole thing up in order to trick somebody in it. You know, a la Mission Impossible, where they they set up this whole thing, but it's all fake because they want to find out who the mole is.
Well, you know, going back a little bit, you remember somebody leaked operations about the illegal roundup that was going on. And I'm wondering, too, just like you, is if this wasn't intentional, and we'll find out later that it was intentional, to flush out some leakers. You know, I think that's a really good possibility. You know, you give this guy some information, it's fake. You give this other guy some information, and it's fake. And then you figure out which one got leaked, and then you know exactly who leaked it, and that's it. They're done. You know, I think maybe that's what's going on. That's just a guess.
Yeah, because I mean, it just, I would suspect that, you know, if it's national security, they probably got something a little more secure than
Signal.
A Signal app, which is available to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if I wanted to, I can learn how to hack the Signal thing.
Right.
You know, I have no interest in spending all that time and energy,
me
but I
either.
Could do it.
Me
so I'm sure some of these young bucks coming up are super smart. They could do it. So they wouldn't do that on purpose.
Let's look at the final Middle East update here with Iran's involvement in the anti-Israel operations that has been primarily indirect, manifesting through its support for allied groups in the region, notably Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen have intensified their activities against Israel. Iran groups have heightened tensions in the Middle East with Iran's recent airstrikes in Beirut targeting Hezbollah positions, further illustrating the escalating conflict involving Iran's regional allies. These developments have raised international concerns about the potential for a broader confrontation. And while there have been no confirmed reports of direct Iranian military action against Israel in the past week, Iran's support for proxies like Hamas, the Houthis, and Hezbollah continue to contribute to regional instability and poses ongoing terrorist threats against Israel's security. And we know for a fact that Iran is going to be involved in the Ezekiel war, the Gog-Magog war. They're they are directly mentioned in Scripture. So, you know, again, it's all about Israel, David. Everything's about Israel. And let's look here in the United States. This one, okay. Senator Bernie Sanders had said on Thursday that he would force votes. Yeah, he said that he would force votes next week on resolutions that would block $8.8 billion in arms sales to Israel. Now, remember, Bernie Sanders is Jewish, citing the human rights crisis faced by Palestinians in Gaza after Israel's bombardment of the enclave. I would suggest to Mr. Sanders, if he's so worried about them, why didn't he go over there and talk to them? And I'll tell you why, because he would be immediately taken hostage as a Jew. Sanders, he's an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats. He said in a statement that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has clearly violated U.S. and international law in this brutal war, and we must end our complicity in the carnage. I'm not going to read all this junk from him. But anyway, he said it's a decades-long tradition of strong bipartisan support for Israel in the U.S. Congress means that resolutions to stop weapon sales are unlikely to pass, but backers hope that raising the issue will encourage Israel's government and U.S. administrators to do more to protect civilians.
Yeah, you can't do much more than we're doing.
Now, here's my take on it. You know, people are having a fit that this vote is going to happen. I want it to happen. I encourage it. Please make it happen. And then I want you to publicize every name that's for it and against it. And that way we know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, call them out on the carpet. I mean, that seems to be happening all over the place where we're actually seeing where people's minds are. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about on FAFO Fridays is all these people with burning down Tesla buildings and charging stations and everything.
Right.
Whereas just a year ago, they were all about climate change and on board with Biden. And this is Yeah. You know, these Teslas were the best thing since sliced bread, and they're going to save the planet.
Right.
And now they can't deal with it. They're mental, you know. That's the whole idea. It's all calling out the mentalicity of them all.
All right, got one more thing before we get into the Ark of the Covenant. Real short. Canadian Prime Minister Carney says the era of close relations with the United States is over. And I would go.
What happened to Castro's kid? He bailed, right?
Yeah, he resigned because his policies. Now they're going to have one of those snap elections coming up here pretty quick. But anyway, this guy is an idiot. It's the only. I mean, without the United States,
that's a good idea.
Without the United States, they're doomed. Yeah. All right. Let's forget about him. He's a comic. We'll go on here to what you guys have been waiting for. Declassified files claim that the CIA has found the Ark of the Covenant by using psychics. Okay. Declassified CIA documents claim that the agency may have located the legendary Ark of the Covenant using psychics. This extraordinary assertion, tied to a secretive 1980s project, has sparked intrigue and skepticism across news outlets and social media platforms. According to an article published by The Independent titled CIA Found the Ark of the Covenant by Using Psychics, Declassified Files Claim, the story originates from documents first declassified in August of 2000 but recently brought back into the spotlight. The report details a remote viewing session conducted on December the 5th, 1988, where a psychic, identified only as remote viewer number 32, was tasked with locating the Ark, a gold-plated chest believed to house the Ten Commandments. The psychic allegedly pinpointed a location in the Middle East, describing it as being protected by entities, though the documents do not specify whether these were human, supernatural, or otherwise. Accompanying the description were sketches, including depictions of a, what is that word, David? Seraphim?
Seraphim. It's a fiery serpent angel looking thing.
Okay. One of the four angelic figures traditionally associated with the Ark, and mummies lined up along a wall. The New York Post echoed this narrative in a piece titled Declassified CIA Files Claim Psychics Found Ark of the Covenant. Now, that emphasizing the experimental nature of the CIA's remote viewing program, this initiative, part of the broader Stargate project, aimed to harness psychic abilities for intelligence gathering during the Cold War. The article notes that the psychic was not informed of the target object beforehand, adding a layer of intrigue to the claim that they independently identified the Ark's location. Meanwhile, the Daily Mail offered additional context in its coverage, and quoting, CIA psychics found the Ark of the Covenant in declassified files, unquote, suggesting that the document's resurgence in public discourse may be fueled by their circulation on social media. The outlet highlighted the historical and biblical significance of the Ark, often depicted as a powerful artifact lost to time, and questioning whether CIA's findings, if true, could rewrite history. Going on here, skepticism abounds, however. Newsweek addressed the story in an article titled, Did the CIA Really Find the Ark of the Covenant? What Declassified Files Say? Urging caution. It pointed out that remote viewing, while a documented CIA endeavor, remains controversial, with many experts dismissing its results as unreliable or unverifiable. The piece also noted that the declassified files do not provide conclusive evidence of the Ark's discovery, only the psychic's impressions, leaving room for interpretation. Adding to the discussion, the Times explored the cultural impact in Ark of the Covenant, CIA's psychic search resurfaces in declassified files. It suggested that the story's timing coincided with renewed interest in conspiracy theories and ancient mysteries, and it may explain its viral spread. The article referenced posts on X, formerly Twitter, where users have shared links to the Independent's report, often with a mix of fascination and disbelief. And got one more here. said the claims remain unverified beyond the psychic's account, and no physical evidence of the Ark's discovery has been presented. Still, the blend of espionage, mysticism, and biblical lore has captivated imaginations. Whether a genuine breakthrough or an artifact of Cold War experimentation, the tale of the CIA's psychic search for the Ark of the Covenant continues to blur the line between fact and legend, as reported across The Independent, The New York Post, The Daily Mail, Newsweek, and The Times. And that's as of yesterday, March 28th. So after all of that, after all of that, David, what do you got to say about that?
Remember Data on Star Trek?
Yes.
Yeah, well, his twin brother was named Lore. So that's pretty cool. I just thought I'd share that.
Okay.
Yeah, but he looked, you know, he was an android, so he looked exactly the same. But Lore became evil, and then Data became good. So he took the emotions out of him because he gave emotions to him. So there's that. Mm-hmm. But as far as the Ark of the Covenant, I mean, you have to understand this. If it's psychics, they're getting this information from demons.
Amen. Right.
It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. So, but here's how demons work. They take a little bit of truth and then they twist it all around and make it nasty and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they have no other basis. They can't just make up new stuff because they have no creative ability. All they can do is twist existing stuff. So there's got to be some hint of truth in there, but what is that and what are they trying to do? So it starts with, yeah, maybe they're telling this psychic that, oh yeah, there it is, look right there, but it's obviously to mislead them in some direction. So wait, you have to take all that with a grain of salt, but try and unwind it and see if in fact there is any truth in there. Started with Ron Wyatt, remember him?
Oh,
1982.
Yeah.
And so we only got a few minutes. I got to get into this. He said, oh, yeah, I found it. It was underneath Golgotha, and it just had a drop of Jesus' blood on it. So
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know about that the blood went all the way down and seeped through there. Mm-hmm. And then they checked it, and it only had, the female chromosomes or something like that.
Right, and the other one was not identifiable. Yeah, I've heard the story. Mm-hmm.
You know what? And Ron Wyatt just happened to find that. He just happened to find the Red Sea and all the chariots.
The crossing point of
he
the
just
Red
happened
sea.
To find the Ark, you know, mm-hmm. Noah's Ark. He just happened to find all these things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's just a little skeptical there.
Yeah,
now, fantastic. But
I actually looked at his website one time, you know, because they kept saying, you know, that the information is there. So I went there and it was always like, well, we're going to be posting it. And, you know, to this day, I think they're going to be posting it. And he's been dead for I don't know how long. So, you know, I have no idea. But my question to you is, does the Bible identify the Ark of the Covenant ever being discovered after it vanishes early on?
No, the mercy seat, not necessarily the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. But people don't realize it's two different pieces.
Okay.
It just the mercy seat sits on top of the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible the mercy seat's there, but the Ark isn't. So I probably not, but that's it's a distinct possibility because it's two different things. Now, in Ethiopia, there's a church in Ethiopia that claimed to be descendant of Bathsheba when she came and was hanging out with Solomon for a little bit. And they saw Solomon going off the rails. So they took it and they left a replica there so they could protect it. And they're hanging on to that thing. And they got one guy their whole lifetime. That's their deal is they got to guard the Ark.
Yeah.
And then they bring up the next kid to do it for his whole lifetime.
Yeah.
So you can look that one up in Ethiopia. There's also a tribe in Zimbabwe, basically. And they have it too. And they believe that they were called to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
In Maccabees, you ever read Second Maccabees?
No.
Mm-mm. It talks about Jeremiah, and because Babylon was coming, and I got to go through this fast. You guys can look this up.
Okay.
And because Babylon was coming, he hid the Ark in Mount Nebo.
Yeah.
Okay. No one ever knows where Mount Nebo is, but who knows? Maybe they found it.
Well, now I got one too. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
And this was, I don't remember the guy's name or anything, but it was an Israeli rabbi. And
right.
he was going through a tunnel area or something around close
under the
to
Temple Mount.
Yeah, and he ran across the Ark,
yep.
supposedly, and then
well, why didn't he do like
sealed
like
it.
You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and they're flying?
He sealed it up. He sealed up that
right.
area, and nobody's ever been able to go back down there again. Now I don't know if that's true or not. Okay, but to me that's the most credible one of all of them. But
well, it makes
the
most sense. That's why I saved it for last. You know, there's little tunnels down there. And mm-hmm. that makes sense because if it was being raided, yeah, you would hide it in a tunnel
mm-hmm.
beneath there. You're
right.
not going to carry it through town where all the people are, but
right.
you have a secret place
yeah.
underneath.
Yeah.
But it will be back because the abomination of desolation will be sitting on that mercy seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, here's another question for you because you know the Bible better than I do. When they were transporting the Ark of the Covenant, they had to use poles. They couldn't
you can't touch it.
You couldn't touch it, or it was just like, you know, that's like instantaneous death.
Mm-hmm.
Would that carry over into 2025? Would that be the same thing? And would that be maybe one of the reasons why this rabbi didn't do anything except seal the area?
Well, one thing he 100% would believe that.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, remember the Azazel goat, the scapegoat, the thread stopped turning red.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the temple's sacrifices ceased.
Mm-hmm.
Everything ceased. So that's a really good question. Would the death of anyone that touches the Ark of Covenant cease as well? I would dare say it would be reinstated because that final 7 years is reinstating, you know, the time of Israel again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that,
mm-hmm.
that'd be interesting. And we
yeah.
see Moses and Elijah or the spirits thereof in the two witnesses
right.
Coming back and everything Hebrew centric is coming back. That's an interesting possibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm.
Well, so as far as was the Ark of the Covenant found? We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we really don't know. I mean, it's possible.
You would think if it was, then we'd see it.
Yeah. You know, this is according to CIA documents. So, you know, you got to look at that. But the way that they are going through government records right now and, you know, Trump is releasing everything he can think of to release, I would think that this would be one of those things that
yeah.
would be released. And I've got
a feeling.
I think
the bigger question is this, JD, because we only got a couple of seconds here. The bigger question is, why is this even the thought of this
mentioned.
Even
yeah.
being brought out now?
Yeah.
Whether
point.
They found it or not, why is this topic being discussed
mm-hmm.
now? And I'm done. Take us out.
Well, I think, you know, I think everything is turning right now toward people are going to have to make a choice right now. This is a choice. You either accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you escape the tribulation to come, or you don't, and you got to go through 7 years of hell. As for me, I have already escaped it. All you got to do is say that simple prayer to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, tell him that you know that Jesus Christ died for you. If you'll do that, if you'll mean it from the bottom of your heart in your words, nothing prearranged, just your words, you will be saved and you're not going to have to worry about a thing. Until next time, everybody, good night. And may the good Lord bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.